welcome to this week's edition of Social Distancing Geekonomics Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kozaska, and over the phone is Mark Warnock.
Social distancing.
So, Mark.
You should like this all the time.
Oh, God. I think we should after the last
show. Call in.
Yeah. After the last
show. Call in all the time, anyways.
You phone it in. Yeah. Yeah. After the last show, you were coughing and sneezing. I was like, I don't want to be around you anymore.
It was allergies. It wasn't the thing.
It wasn't it? You sure?
It was.
So, Mark, I don't know if you were aware since you were sleeping. Today.
You woke me up for this.
I know. Today, the mayor of Massachusetts just said non-essentials need to stay home.
The mayor of Massachusetts or the governor?
The governor! The mayor!
It's good to see you know how politics work.
I don't know. I can't keep track of it all. It's a mess.
The mayor of Massachusetts.
The mayor. The governor. The governor of Massachusetts, as of today, just said non-essentials need to stay home.
Is it the same as the Connecticut net non-essentials, which is pretty much nobody?
What do you mean?
Because the Connecticut governor, Lamont, put out a thing last week.
Yeah, starting tonight.
The non-essentials, but it's like the list is like pretty much everyone is still working.
No, you're wrong and you're right. When you look at that list, you go, holy shit, we depend on a lot. Laundromats have to stay open because not everybody has a washer and dryer, and it's good
exactly.
to stay clean.
Yes.
Gas stations, you need gas. Yes. Grocery stores, you need food. Restaurants are...
Except for toilet paper, because there's none there.
People
hoarding it like idiots.
I know. I actually went out today, and I actually found random toilet paper throughout Enfield because I need it. I actually need it. But anyway, when you look at the list, you're like, you're right. In a sense, you're like, wow, we depend on a lot to stay open.
Yeah.
But Best Buy, closing. Ocean State Job Lot, closing. Barnes & Noble, closing. Like, Matt's Sports Cards, they're closing. Like, the non-essentials means things you can go without. But there's a lot of things we do need. And you're right. I would say it cuts down almost 50% of the things out there. And things you don't think of, you're like, oh, a laundromat? I don't use one, but there's a lot of people, especially in Thompsonville, those houses don't have washers or dryers. So it is crazy, and you're right. You look at the list, you're like, holy shit, there's a lot of things that will stay open, but that's just the way it is. But Massachusetts just announced that today. I don't know what that means for your wife and my wife, who both work in...
I'm pretty sure they're essential.
Yeah. I think she'll still... She's been going to work all week, all last week, and I just dropped her off today.
As is mine.
Yeah.
She has today off, though, but...
But...
And she had yesterday off, so...
We both work for a job, luckily, that I can do everything I can to run the station from my laptop. Mm. We're still covering meetings, so that's a weekly thing we have to figure out. But beyond that, I'm home, working from home.
We don't have to cover at our place. It's just But this week we're doing I'm the at home person.
Yep.
And Sandy's the at work person because it's her last week. So.
And then you're going to be the only person there.
Yeah, then I'm the only one there 5 days a week.
Wow.
We're only open from 10 to 4, so.
Yeah. And
no public entering the building.
So right. So, so you'd be by yourself.
A lot of these kind of shows. Like, this week I'm on the phone, next week Brian will be on the phone.
Right, right. Well, this week, Mark, I figured.
Brian.
Mark. I figured let's do something I've been planning for a while, kind of like a best of. Convention show. Now, a convention, all of them are pretty much canceled this year or postponed.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see any of them really happening at all this year as of now. So back in the day, we used to be the B&M Big Podcast. We talked about this, and people who, all 10 of you who listen to this show know this. But a lot of these interviews either got lost on our YouTube page or were taken or just never added or whatever. So I kind of picked through the best of the best. And we'll start the show off and we'll come back after. This is what I call the video game people. We got James Burns from Call of Duty. And John St. John, who does the voice of Duke Nukem, which was an amazing get.
Yes, it was quite the fun time.
And the one person who should have been there was Jeremy Hutzel, but he was off playing
Dungeons and Dragons or something.
Yeah, and then we mocked him.
He was doing a magic tournament.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go into that, and we'll be back after John St. John.
This is James C. Burns, I'm Sergeant Frank Woods, Call of Duty Black Ops 1 and 2, and this is the B&M Big Podcast, baby.
So we are here with Sergeant Frank Woods, James Burns, here on the B&M Big Podcast. So how'd you get involved in the Call of Duty?
I'm an actor. It was an audition. I went and they just kind of went through the numbers and just, you know, I'm an actor. It's what I do. Yeah. Yeah, simple as that.
How did you get involved in the voice acting? Was it
I'm not really a voice actor. Woods is shot entirely live action. Like everything you see Woods do actually happened on a soundstage someplace. And what happens is a computer sees my image as this mannequin of hundreds of white dots. So it moves like me, it sounds like me, and then they just paint it in. With, you know, they can animate the in between the dots. So that's it's an acting job. It's like everything else. You know, it just happens to be in a video game.
So how'd you get involved in acting then? Was there like, is this something you got involved in college or?
I wish I knew. It's like, it just kind of ended up here one day.
Yeah.
The joke is pure vanity. You know, like it's like, yeah. I needed the attention, I guess. I don't know, it's something I always wanted to do. And I had opportunities come my way and they worked out. So it's, I can't give you more. It's like, it just kind of evolved into being an actor. Yeah. I used to be a hockey coach.
And there we go.
And then one day I got sick of coaching kids and said, well, let me try acting. And I got lucky. You know, I got lucky.
Anything else besides, you did Call of Duty Black Ops, or any other games you got coming up, or anything you got coming up that you're working on?
I'm in Black Ops 1 and 2, but I'm a one-trick pony. I mean, granted, it's a really big trick,
yeah.
You know, but I don't think I'll do another game. This is like the Rolls Royce of video games.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? You know, like, you know, My Little Pony, you know, it's like, it's,
could,
yeah,
but
it's
like, kind of weird.
Not that it's,
Sergeant Woods is My Little Pony. It
hey,
might be a good game, actually.
Pony!
Yeah.
Stop wearing pink, you know? Pink is for pussies, you know? It's like, it may open up a whole new opportunity for the genre.
You might have started a video game right here.
Yeah, there's a million kids out. Oh, wow, that's just tweet that. Yeah. Woods is,
Let's do that.
Yeah. No, what's exciting, though, is right now we're working on the pre-production and a Black Ops-based zombie movie.
Wow.
I've been playing the Woods character.
Yeah.
We got Rich McDonald, who's Section, and Kamar De La Reyes, who's Menendez. He's working on our side now, and it's pretty cool. We're gonna broadcast it, the first offering, on my YouTube channel, Sergeant Frank with YouTube, in about 2 weeks. We're gonna crowdsource, and we're going to have opportunities for the community to get involved in the film, and we have contests. If you win, you get to be in the movie. But it's not Activision, and I can't call Black Ops because that belongs to Activision.
Yeah.
But it's Woods, it's Menendez, it's Mason.
They're zombie adventures.
And some badass zombies. The script is unbelievable. There's one particular zombie battle that if you thought World War Z was cool, this is going to make that look like a Saturday morning cartoon. This is amazing.
Like My Little Pony.
Looks like My Little Pony. Hey, little pony, get the hell out of the way.
Pony.
I'm hungry. Come here. You know, I want pony meat.
Well, that's awesome. So keep an eye out for that on your YouTube page.
Yeah, Sergeant Frank Woods. Yeah. Or go to James C. Burns' Twitter, but Sergeant Frank Woods' YouTube channel. That's the source of all things Black Ops. We have behind-the-scenes footage of how things were made, split screens showing the live-action version against what you see in the game. We have interviews that give you tours of Treyarch. We talk about Ghosts a little bit. I mean, it's a pretty thorough channel. It's a lot of fun.
So now that you were in the video game, did you actually play the game after you're in it, or you just couldn't figure it out? Because I know I could barely figure it out.
I am so bad. I mean, seriously, Activision actually said to me, man, you can't play online. You suck. You are embarrassing the franchise. And you know what it is? I never played the games, and I don't have the time to learn how to use the controller. It's like buttons. Oh, go forward. How do I shoot? Yeah. You know, oh, I'm dead. You know, it's like that's... You know,
that's kind of how I am. I'm that same guy.
If you don't have time to learn how to handle the controller, how are you going to play the game? It's like trying to, you know, drive a car without a steering wheel. Exactly. Is that going to happen, you know?
Yeah, there's four of us that play online. We played the Black Ops, and I'm always that guy that just sits in a corner and crouches down and is like, don't come near me because I have no idea what to do.
I love watching. For me, like,
I do. I like watching them play.
The game is like watching a good movie, right?
It is.
Because you don't know who's going to screw up. You don't know.
Yeah.
And plus, I know so much inside information. Like, no, wait, go. Okay, wait. Okay, hang on. No, okay, hang on. Go left. Go left. Yeah. Because I just know all this stuff. I know how to play the game. I just can't. You know, and it really cracks me up. I have like friends, you know, they're playing. Like, how do you go? Just if Woods tells you to cover the bridge, cover the goddamn bridge.
Don't stop and go somewhere.
I'm not saying this for my own. You know, I'm saying it because it means.
I was there.
Now look at if he says go to crossbow, go to the crossbow.
Yeah.
You know.
So now, if your friends are playing and you're watching them play, do you get like flashbacks, like actual veterans?
No. I mean,
it's like, oh man, I remember that. Don't go that way.
Making this game was a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, old man Woods. I mean, is he funny or what?
He's pretty awesome.
Isn't he funny as hell? We had so much fun making this game. Like, especially me and Kamar, who's my, you know, my arch enemy.
Yeah.
We're like best friends. I mean, there's a scene where we're kicking the crap out of each other, and we're just cracking up. Like, oh man, really? You're gonna kick me in the balls? Oh, you bastard! You know. So it's the best job in the world. I had a blast making this game, man. It was
good. That's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was awesome to meet you.
My pleasure.
I've heard your voice in my head probably for years now.
I've heard you for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Hi, everybody. My name is John St. John. I'm best known as the voice of Duke Nukem, and you're listening to the B&M Baked Podcast. Oh, yeah. Let's rock.
Well, as you've heard, we're here with Duke Nukem himself, John St. John.
Hi there.
So tell us how you got into doing voice acting way back.
Oh, I was a radio DJ for many years, and then a production director. And as a production director, you have to be very creative and use as many different voices as you can, so every commercial doesn't sound the same. So I found myself, you know, having to force my voice to do different things over the years. And then I met a casting director while I was working at a radio station in San Diego, and she had me audition for this game called Duke Nukem. And I went, Duke what? I mean, nobody had heard of it at the time, so it was funny. The first time you hear Duke Nukem, and the rest is history. I auditioned for that game and then got many more.
Yeah. So not only were you in Duke Nukem, you've been in Sonic the Hedgehog and tons of other ones.
Yeah.
So what was like, what's the ones that you like the most, like besides Duke Nukem, of course, is the big one, but I mean, what are the ones you're kind of like, wow, I didn't think that was going to be as good as it turned out to be?
For quality of games, I can tell you that right now the Dungeons and Dragons Neverwinter is pretty cool.
Yes.
And I enjoy the roles in that. I like Dota 2 has been a blast to do because the characters I get to play are pretty wild. And Star Trek Online has been fun for me lately as well.
So, any other, like, when you were, I'm assuming video games growing up, there weren't many of them, but I mean, as video games appeared, what were some of the games that you
in
started playing?
In my 30s, you mean? In my 30s, when I was still growing up, because I didn't mature until I was 45.
I was going to say your 20s, but...
Oh, you're nice, you're nice.
Yeah.
I still think that poop and fart jokes are funny, so I haven't grown up.
Who doesn't?
Chicks, man!
Well,
chicks.
They don't know anything.
Why are farts not funny to women?
I don't know.
Because they can't do it.
They can't. They're jealous.
Why.
They're jealous.
I think so.
It's all jealousy.
If they could fart and burp like us, they'd think it was funny.
Oh, some of them can. I've met some that can burp really loud.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Beer drinking chicks.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I forgot what I was going to ask now.
I threw him.
You did. You threw me for a loop there with a.
I have that effect on people.
Yes, you do. So, Duke Nukem, the new game just came out not too long ago. Is there any other stuff coming out
in the future that
with
we
Duke?
Can look?
Unfortunately, there's a lawsuit right now between 3D Realms well,
bet,
and
like,
Gearbox.
For you,
so.
Not just Duke,
oh,
but...
games that are soon to be released.
Yes, that you're going to be a part of or anything
yes,
else that you're
but you're
be
not going to like the fact that I had to sign non-disclosure agreements, so I'm okay. not allowed to talk about them.
Well, there you go.
You know how competitive the video yes. game industry is, so I can't talk about the games okay. until they actually come out.
All right. Anything else coming up down the road that you're doing that you can talk about?
Not that I can talk about.
You're a very secretive man.
I don't mean to be. It's the lawyers, man. Blame the lawyers, not me. It's not my fault.
Exactly. Lawyers are bad people.
Yeah.
They ruin all the fun.
Yeah, see?
So, I'm assuming you do a lot of cons around the places.
I do.
Stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Kineticon being...
Oh, Kineticon's one of the best. As a guest, this is one of the best cons because they treat me really well, and the fans here are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're really nice. I haven't met a fan here that I didn't like.
We've run to a lot of them. We've done a bunch of cons. This is... I mean, we used to come as just fans, and we started doing the podcast just to get in for free, you know,
yeah.
how that works.
And don't you find that the cosplay here at Kineticon is really impressive?
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. It's like a whole different level.
It is.
I've been to even New York Comic Con and all these other comic, like, bigger ones, and it's like, that people don't try as hard.
They're really into it here. They are really into it.
It's like a job.
Yeah, so this message for these really good con players who come here, get a life.
Yeah, or spread out to the bigger cons and teach them how to do it the right
really,
way.
Really, this should be going everywhere. Yeah.
So that's all I got. Thank you very much.
Well,
it was a very pleasure to meet you.
All right. That was two awesome gentlemen from the video game business. And Mark, you did a great job interviewing them.
It was cool for me because it was just cool to talk to them, but also it was kind of strange since I don't really know who either of them are because I don't play either of those games.
Yeah, so I know, but you had me.
I was kind of blind.
You were. But you had me there. I was doing camera. These videos do exist on YouTube, but it's great to have this best of. You get the best of these interviews because we interviewed cosplayers and we interviewed some people nobody's ever heard of before. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah,
but these people,
writers and things.
Right? And these are the big boys.
Yeah. And I believe both those are at Kineticon, right? I think all these are at Kineticon.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's when we used to go to Kineticon. You remember those days?
I remember. We used to have a table.
Oh God! Whatever happened? That was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
Then they got.
That was back when other people that were motivated to help us do stuff.
Well, it's also back when we had a connection with that place, and then they upped the price. Then they didn't allow free tickets. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
So, Mark, we're going to go into right now an amazing voice actor from the '60s and '70s. Most people will know his voice because he does Skeletor, Alan Oppenheimer.
Great interview. You guys are going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, and he does some voices, and he is an amazing gentleman. And then after that, you're going to hear the voice of an actor, Noah Hathaway. And you're like, well, who the hell is Noah Hathaway? He's Artru from The NeverEnding Story.
Atreyu.
Atreyu? What did I say? Artru?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm a dyslexic. Is he the mayor of Massachusetts?
He's the mayor of Massachusetts.
Noah Hathaway?
Artru, that's who you're thinking of. Artru is the mayor of Massachusetts. Atreyu is a NeverEnding Story.
Right. Oh,
and
boy.
And the cool thing about the name Atreyu, my coworker Al in Cheshire actually named his son Atreyu.
Dude, if I had a son, that is a fucking amazing name. Except I would get it wrong all the time, so I don't think it would be good. Yeah.
You call him Trey for short.
Hey, Trey. Atreyu.
Next cat or dog, that's the name.
Atreyu. Oh, my God. I need another cat. All right. Allison's going to hate me. We're getting another cat.
You just get it before she comes home today. You'll be all set.
Oh, God. She'll hate me. Oh, my God. We should do it. Okay. All right. We're going to go into it. We'll be back after Nora Hathaway.
Enjoy a tro.
All right, we're here with the one, the only, Alan Oppenheimer. It's very nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you. You too.
I got to say, when I saw your name pop up on the website, you were the most excited. That was the most excited thing I saw. Because I think I've seen everything you've been in.
There's a lot of it.
At least twice.
There's a lot of it, yes.
So you were the one and only Falcor.
Falcor, the NeverEnding Story.
Yes. Skeletor's my favorite one, I gotta say. And you're also...
That's a $6 million man.
Yep.
Transformers.
I didn't even know you were in Transformers. If I knew that, I'd be even more excited.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things ever. So, in He-Man, not only were you Skeletor, you're also Merman.
I was Merman, Cringer, and Man-at-Arms also.
So you were a lot of people in that.
I was, and sometimes I had to talk to myself.
Now, how difficult is that to talk to yourself?
It's very easy. I don't get any back talk. I say what I want to say. For instance, Mark, is it?
Yes.
Well, Mark, here comes Merman. Oh, hello, how are you? I was talking to him. Oh, excuse me. Can Cringer get a word in here, edgewise? Just a minute, please. How's that?
Wow, that was impressive. I gotta say, I was
impressed with it too.
The voices always sound that way in my head, but I can never get them to come out that way. So you've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah. I started cartoons in the 70s.
Yes, as Mickey Mouse I saw.
Oil Can Harry.
Yes, in the Mickey Mouse cartoons.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
So you've kind of like seen cartoons go from there to now.
I'm not happy about that. I liked them better then.
Me too. That's what I was going to ask. Do you prefer them then or now?
No, then. I mean, I find the content now very shallow. And also, the limited animation is even more limited than when we started doing limited animation. I don't much care for it.
Me neither. I agree. I believe the old Transformers and He-Mans were the best cartoons ever. I don't think nowadays they're not even interesting. I can't even watch them anymore. They're too flashy and
it's like
jumpy.
MTV shots. But movies are like that too.
Yes.
See, you don't have to do any lighting. You don't have to do a lighting setup on a set. You've got a handheld camera you take here, you cut here, you cut here, you cut here. Cheap.
Yeah.
But not very interesting.
No. I agree. I totally agree. So, you were in The NeverEnding Story, which is one of my first movies I like watched continually over and over again. When you guys were filming it, I was going to ask Noah later on if I had a chance to interview him. Did you guys think it was going to be what it was when you did it?
No, we never know. We never know. I've been in some movies that I thought were going to be a hit and they died. And I've been in some movies that we just thought, well, okay. And all of a sudden, they're legendary. I mean, that was a movie I just did. My first picture was Star with Julie Andrews. Never went anywhere. I think it's wonderful, but it never went anywhere. Mm. Then I did The Hindenburg with George C. Scott. That did well. Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster. That did well. But you just don't know. Mm. You do the work. You like the script, you do the work. You never know.
So with Felcor, what was it that made you like, oh, wow, that's going to be something I want to do? Why did, you know?
The story's charming. He's a beautiful character. I like the warmth of the Luck Dragon. I like that a lot. So when I auditioned for this, they'd already filmed it, you know. Mm. So they had to lay in the voice afterwards. So I auditioned in California for Wolfgang Petersen. He said, that's fine. He flew me to Munich, and I was there a week. We did it in 2 days, but I saw Munich and Salzburg.
You're in Munich.
And
yeah,
exactly.
Look at
I enjoyed it while I was there.
Yeah. Now, if you got to go there during October, it'd be even better. But
yeah, right. It was snowing. It was
well,
it was
there
snowing.
That's at least something.
Yeah.
So when did you first see Felcor and it's finished? When it was on screen, or did you actually see?
No, I saw it first on screen. No, it was before they released any VHS of it or anything. On screen.
Yeah. So what did you think the first time you saw it in full?
Oh, I'm awesome. Absolutely awed by it.
Yeah.
I also play the Rock Biter.
Yes.
And
another one of my favorite ones.
Gormack? Is that the
word? Gormack, yes.
Gormack?
Yes.
And then when I was finished, he said, oh, can you say a few words to the narrator here? I said, well, okay.
Why not?
He only signed me for Falcor.
Ah, so he
kept springing the other stuff on me.
Buy one, get three free.
Yeah, you know, I'm out the door and he pulls me by the collar. Oh, one
by
more
the way.
Thing. Would you mind?
I was always amazed when I was growing up with the puppetry of it that they made. It was just mind-boggling
to me.
But it's Transformers you did.
Yeah.
I know one of them was a Constructicon. Do you happen to know the names of them? So
well,
people out there would want to know.
Sea Spray and Beachcomber.
Beachcomber, yes.
Warpath here, but I did Warpath too.
And you were also Vanity Smurf, I remember.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Wow.
Mr. Oppenheimer, I gotta say, it's an honor and a pleasure.
$6 million man.
$6 million man.
Right.
As well, yes.
You need anything fixed? You need any repairs?
Not right this second.
Okay.
But if I want to get better, faster, stronger,
brain surgery,
I know to come to Mr. Oppenheimer. Thank you very much, sir. It was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you very
nice
much.
Talking with you.
You too. We're back here in the Being a Big podcast with Noah Hathaway, who has been in many awesome things. I got to say, the one thing I know you from the most, which I'm sure everyone says, is The Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Which I was just talking with Mr. Oppenheimer, and I said it was like the first movie I ever watched like multiple times over. I think I wore the VHS out. I watched it so many times.
That's a good movie.
Yes, it was. But you're also in another one of my favorite shows, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about what it was like being in Battlestar Galactica as a kid, of all things, being in space.
I had a great time. I had my own chimp. It was basically, I took care of her. I mean, she had a trainer, but, you know, what six-year-old has his own chimpanzee that he gets to play with all day, you know, every day and run around? And they'd get pissed. They'd get annoyed at me because I'd always grab their guns and shoot, fire off their laser, you know, but I'm six.
Yeah,
so what six-year-old wouldn't want to play with the laser guns?
And you're in space.
Yeah, exactly. and the bridge, all the computers worked.
Wow.
They had, like, one of the first real, like, video games. It was like a missile game where you had to calculate wind and trajectory and distance.
Wow.
And so it was fun, man.
So it was exactly like that scene in Avengers where Tony Stark's like, that guy's playing Galaga.
Exactly.
They actually were playing Galaga.
Pretty much.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, Neverending Story.
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably will ask you 9,000 questions about it, but I'm going to ask you 9,001 questions about it. How did that come about? How'd you get that? I mean, just go for audition, but you know, how did?
Yeah, they had a different director originally, and they did a worldwide one of those castings, and you know, my agent sent me in and went through the whole callback, all that crap, and they hired me, and then they fired the director and started all over again, and they brought Wolfgang Peterson on, and then they saw another 50,000 to 100,000 kids and went through the whole process again. So he kind of auditioned for close to a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it was one of the first, not one of the, it was actually one of the first like Jim Henson puppetry movies that was out there. The first one I remember. What was that like with the puppets? Like, it was mind-boggling me to watch them in action. I don't know how it would be in person.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I think it was just a lot of Jim Henson's people. I don't think it was Jim Henson directly. But yeah, it was incredible. And it really gave you a sense of something real and tangible that you were relating to instead of some idiot with a tennis ball on
exactly.
a stick. Because what is a tennis ball giving you back?
Unless
you had a moving, animate thing that you really could actually relate. And it really made it lifelike. And you had, you know, Alan's voice going. And so...
Yeah, it was pretty epic. Now, I asked him, and I know everyone always says they don't know when they first shoot it, if it's going to be as big as it's going to be, but did you in your wildest imagination think that that was going to turn into what it is now?
Never. I mean, I knew we were doing something special that had never been done, and it took a while for it to get some traction because Warner Brothers had scheduled Supergirl, and they pulled it and put the Neverending Story in its place.
Supergirl.
And there was like zero P&A for it. They did absolutely no publicity.
Yeah.
So it came out and nobody knew about it. And so it took a couple of years for people to
grew on its own.
Yeah. So, you know, 30 whatever years later, people are, it's crazy. You know, not a lot of movies that 30 years later, people come up and start crying. You know what I mean? It really is one of those movies that really has touched a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Now, you've done other things, of course, besides Neverending Story and Battlestar Galactica. You were in the movie Troll.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I remember that movie. It scared the bejesus out of me when I was growing up.
You know, we shot in Italy, in Rome, and just the cast, Sonny Bono and Julia Louise Dreyfus, and just, you know, June Lockhart. You know, why wouldn't I go shoot that?
Yeah, I mean, they said that at the beginning. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. They told me who was in it, and they were like, I'll pay you this much. I was like, hell yeah,
okay,
we'll go.
Sure, why not? Sure. So, you've taken a break, and now you're back into the acting again. What is, like, what's going on with you now? What did the people can see you in if they were looking?
Sushi Girl is on Netflix. It's got Mark Hamill, Tony Todd, Danny Trejo, Michael Biehn, James Duval, pretty much every kind of cult person we got in that. It's a grindhouse movie. It's as you can see the picture.
Yeah.
They, you know, they do me wrong. And then I did a, I have Tom Holland, who directed Chucky and Fright Night, did like a Twilight Zone little series of shorts called the Tom Holland's Twisted Tales. I did like the first main episode. And then I'm just writing and producing my not stuff for me, but I just really am a writer now and a producer. So
I've got
a couple series that I'm working on getting funded right now, and a couple features that I'm working on getting funded. And I literally haven't left my office or home in 3 months because I've just been writing. So, you know, that's kind of what I did till almost 3 a.m. last night. It was just right. I got a deadline. So
yeah, that's us with editing. It's like we're trapped in rooms and just stuck there. Just over video.
I haven't been on a date in 6 months. You know, I just.
Well, it's Kineticon. Give it some time. I'm pretty sure you'll find something.
Right on.
So thank you for taking the time. Is there, if anyone was looking for information about you besides, you know, here at the con, where would they, do you have like a website or something someone could check out?
You know, I got a Facebook page. I'm not huge into social media. I'm busy. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't have much time to sit on the computer and play around recently. Yeah. But yeah, I got a Facebook page and I try to respond to as much as I can.
All right, cool. So check out Facebook, Noah Hathaway. We'll be back with more here on the Being a Big Podcast.
All right, two amazing people, very generous with their time, Mark.
Yes.
Before we get into the last two voice actors, how is everything going with you? I mean, this is your first week. You're being told to stay home.
This is my first official day of working from home, so to speak.
So what are what are you doing? What's your plans?
I don't know if you saw on the Facebook, if anyone else is friends with me on Facebook, they would have seen I purchased a huge Lego thing to build this week. But I finished it over the weekend. So that's not going to happen.
You know, it's funny. I did see that on Facebook, and you motivated me. For 2 years, I've had this gigantic Star Wars ship Lego set. And my thought was, I got to clean the table, the kitchen table. Well, the kitchen table is pretty much clean because it's now my work office. So I'm thinking I'm going to do that this week.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mark. You motivated me to do that.
I got the if whoever's not friends with Facebook, and I got the Lego Creator Ford Mustang. It's like 1,000-some-odd pieces.
Yeah.
But it's like a super technical build. You have to like build the engine and the gears and everything and the doors and all
that. Oh, wow.
But it's quite intense. And it was a very like interesting build. It was very cool to see like how they use Legos to do things. That was amazing.
How long did it take you?
2 days. Like probably 4 hours each day.
Wow. That's a good, good amount of time.
Yeah. I downloaded The Witcher 2.
Witcher 3 or Witcher 2?
Whatever the newest one was.
Witcher 3?
Yeah. I downloaded that on Xbox.
And nice.
Maybe that, and then catch up on comic books I haven't read yet.
Right.
I have a stack. I have a huge stack I got to get through, so.
Right. I mean, my work day, you know, I work in the morning. I'll go until about lunchtime, 1 o'clock. If everything's, I got to make sure the schedule's good and emails and all that, what have you. And then, I do want to catch up on reading. I have some books I got to read, and the Lego set would be awesome to build. And then on top of that,
I just thought about it. I still have that one that I gave you, the double of Legos.
Yeah.
I still have that other one I haven't built yet.
There you go.
I'm excited now. I got something to do.
We did watch a movie I suggest everybody not watch. We decided to watch Contagion that came out in 2013, 2011.
Yes, that's dumb.
Or no, even longer than that.
So it's like the people that are watching Pandemic right now.
Contagion is a great movie because you're like, holy moly. everything, how it starts is exactly the same way. How it spreads is almost the same way. And then they mention things in this movie. Social distancing, washing your hands, and then how, it's interesting, there's a character played by Jude Law, who is this online person. Now, this is back, they had Twitter and blogging. So social media was a thing during this movie. So he has a blog where he is trying to spread misinformation about a possible homeopathic cure to this disease, like the coronavirus. It's a virus, just like the coronavirus.
Yeah, they're saying, like, if you, like, drink warm water.
No, he was saying, like, it was, like, a plant or whatever. So, so basically, and then he pretended to be sick on his video, and he was saying he was taking it, and it made him feel better. And it's like, wow, now you have people like Alex Jones, who said vitamins... Or the president, and you're like, holy mackerel, this is nuts. The president is saying the same shit.
That's where he gets it from.
Oh my God. You watch this movie, and it's a good movie, and it's interesting to watch how much they used factual things and how something like this would spread, because we're literally living in it now. But it's a movie, so they go extreme with some things. But, yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts, man. So, if you're anxiety-ridden already, I don't watch it, because I'm not that – I don't have much anxiety about all this, but I watched it. But I was just like, wow, that was intense. But all these movies that we normally would be talking about are now coming onto VOD.
Yes, Netflix.
Well, not Netflix. I mean – Universal just released The Hunt, Invisible Man.
Disney's putting Onward on a movie that just came out, like, not even a month ago.
Disney Plus.
It's going straight to Disney Plus.
So. I bet you anything, all the movie theaters are literally closed.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if Black Widow, I still don't think Black Widow is going to come out on time. I think they're going to push it.
I have a feeling it's either going to get pushed, or they'll do, like, a special, a Disney Plus release.
Right.
So or boost the people buying Disney Plus.
Right. Or they could possibly put it on VOD, so you got to spend $20 to watch it.
Yeah, that too.
And then put it on Disney Plus, because they got to make some money.
Yeah.
It would be a complete wash. But if it went on Disney Plus, I would resubscribe, watch it, and then... discontinue it again. But yeah, it's crazy, Mark. These are strange times we live in.
Yeah, speaking of Disney Plus, they just announced Rosario Dawson is going to be Ahsoka Tano in a Mandalorian season 2.
I know, and they just finished filming that.
Yeah,
so they must have kept that secret.
Yeah,
dude, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty awesome. She actually pops up on the final season of Star Wars Clone Wars.
Oh, nice.
Which is airing on the Disney Plus right now.
See, it's weird. I haven't really caught up. I mean, we watched some few movies. We really haven't watched any TV shows. We've just been watching movies. But... All right, Mark. Let's move on, and we can close up the show. We're gonna end our best of today with two amazing people. You will know them as Pinky and the Brain.
Yes, and so many others.
LaMarche plays Egon Spengler on The Real Ghostbusters. Yes. He's the Brain. He's also in Frozen 1.
He is.
And then Rob Paulsen played Pinky, but he also did Raphael and Donatello in the original Ninja Turtles cartoon.
And so many others as well.
Oh, God, yeah. So, let's listen to these guys.
We're here at Kineticon with the one and only Maurice LaMarche. It is an honor, sir, I gotta say.
Thank you, sir. pleasure.
You were the voice of my childhood, I think.
Well, thank you. I remember standing there over your bed with the baseball bat at the end of it, and a little propeller, and narrating your entire childhood. I was lucky not to be arrested.
So you're that guy. I was wondering who that was. Ah,
right.
Oh, geez. So we all know you from your multiple things you voiced, but how'd you get involved in voice acting? How did that start?
Well, I was, I was always a class clown as a kid, and I discovered early on that I could do impressions. I had a teacher named Mr. Fraser, who was doing a Columbo impression. There used to be this TV show called Columbo.
Peter Falk, for all you kids out there.
For those of you genre people who may remember him as the grandfather in The Princess Bride. And so he was doing the impression for the kids in the schoolyard, and I went up to him, and I just don't know how this happened, because I'd never really been able to do much in the way of voices before. And one eye went cross-legged, and I went, "Excuse me, Mr. Fraser, sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but you're murdering a Peter Falk impression." And the rest is kind of moved on from there. I discovered I had this, like, superpower, you know? And I just started just absorbing voices from the television. It was a bizarre thing. So all of a sudden I built, one day, like a year later, in like the ninth grade, my friends and I sat down and we wrote down like that I could do like 30 impressions. And I'd never really done them before that. So from there, I did stand-up comedy in Toronto, then moved to Los Angeles. Luckily, got made a regular at the Comedy Store right away, and just began to do stand-up comedy around town and across the country. And then an opportunity opened up in voiceover to do a voice Inspector Gadget, and then that took off.
Chief Quimby, one of my favorites. I got it.
Here's your assignment, Gadget. Oh, Gadget. Yeah, I mean, it's basically a Walter Cronkite, a pissed off Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've done many voices, as we know, as you were saying. My favorite, of course, everyone probably says, is Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Who?
Pinky and the Brain was my favorite.
Not familiar with that show.
I know.
Yes, my friend. We shall take over. I was joshing with you. You understand that I have a sense of humor as well. Yes, even the brain is not devoid of humor. Yeah, no, I love Pinky and the Brain. It's one of my fondest memories of my entire career. And, it lives on in reruns and DVD sales. And when we come to cons like this, so many people who grew up with the show as little kids are now willing minions.
Yeah.
And, we do these panels and, it just reminds us that, what we did made a difference to somebody, made their tough day at school a little better or something like that.
Nothing like when it would come on, you knew you were like running home from school to get and see Animaniacs, and Pinky and the Brain would come on. Oh my gosh. But it is every time me and my friends, all of us, would be like, anyone's like, what are we going to do tonight? And of course it is plan to take over the world.
Yes. The same thing we do every night. Order in pizza. Yes, and watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, no, that's Rob Paulson's thing. I only did one episode of the Turtles.
So, as you're saying, Robert Paulson, of course, your other half of the Pinky and the Brain team.
Yeah.
What was that like? Like, finding that person that is like... Because you guys are like now like synonymous with each other now. It's like almost like my dad would call Frickin' Frack the Heart Attack Kids, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are always together. It's like, where's one is, there's always one.
Well, we do actually have separate careers and separate families. We don't live in the same house or anything, but no.
Anymore.
it was to discover a guy like Rob, who's, I think, I mean, he's the fastest, most facile mind I've ever known. And to discover, that you love to play the same shtick, because we were big Monty Python fans and big Peter Cook and Dudley Moore fans and... British comedy, is very big with us. We grew up not far from each other, just a couple hundred miles. He in Flint, Michigan, I in Toronto. So we got the same TV stations, and so we grew up with the same shows. And the references, when a guy gets your references right the first day you meet him, you go, I gotta shtick with that guy. So, we've just always enjoyed each other's humor and had a great time. It's great.
That's awesome. I always call it, like Brian here is down the camera, is my heterosexual life partner.
There you go.
You always got to have one of them.
Yes.
You could keep with you wherever you want.
Yes.
Whenever you're in trouble, that's the one you could call and he's going to come get you. But I saw before they covered up all your stuff here that you were in Frozen, which I didn't even know you were in Frozen.
I was.
So tell us about, how's that? Does every kid, once they see you're in Frozen, start singing Let It Go to you?
You know, it's funny. I do get a lot of Let It Go. But the thing about this job is that I'm basically incognito and undercover all the time. Mm. Nobody knows it's me, especially away from a con.
Yeah.
Now, we've been having a little fun. I've been walking around the con, and any young lady dressed as Elsa, I go up to, and you know, you can tell they've got the Elsa costume. And you know, it's a very, very distinct costume. And I go up to them, and I've got snuck up behind one and went, "Don't feel it. Conceal it. Don't let it show. These gloves will help." And she looked at me like, "I'm going to have you arrested." And I broke and went, No, it's okay. I'm the guy. I'm the guy for the movie. I played him in the movie.
I swear it's me.
So she was like, yeah.
Sure, buddy. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, whatever.
But then the next one I saw, because undeterred, of course, I wanted to see if it would happen again. The next one I went to, she oh my God, I know exactly who you are. Oh my God, can I get a picture with you? So, you know, and then we got about a 50-50 reaction.
So it's kind of like a brain experiment.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue doing it for the rest of the con. Any Elsa I see, I'm going to go up and do the king for.
There's definitely a lot of them. It's definitely the big outfit of the con. Yeah, no, so besides Frozen you got going on, are there anything else going on out there that people should be looking out for that you got coming up?
A brand new show on Disney HD, and now it'll soon be across all Disney platforms, called The 7D. And it is the story of the seven dwarves. It's a retelling, a reimagining. Snow White hasn't been born yet. It's earlier in their lives. And they are...
Swinging bachelors that have their own...
Well, they're always that. They're still in their minds.
Hanging out, whistling as they work.
Yeah, but they they are at the beck and call of Queen Delightful of the Kingdom of Jollywood, who's kind of a loopy, silly, but very sweet and well-intentioned queen. Mm. And her man-in-waiting, Lord Starchbottom, played by Paul Rugg. And and anytime there's any trouble, she rings the bing-bong bell, and the seven dwarves, run to the castle and are at her service. So we have all these adventures, and it's a very arch kind of humor. It's made for kids, made for the little ones, but it's the kind of... Tom Ruger is at the helm of the show, and he, of course, was the guy behind Animaniacs. I mean, he had many tremendous people under him, but he's the guy behind Animaniacs, and we brought that sort of the kids will love it, and so will the adults.
Nice.
Sensibility to the show. So it's on at 10 o'clock, 11 Central, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Just check your local listings on all the Disney platforms.
So in 7D, who do you play that we can look out for?
Oh, I am. We're casting against type. I'm Grumpy. Yeah.
There you go.
And actually, you know what? I have, as cheerful as I am, I have an inner curmudgeon, especially when I'm driving on the 405 freeway in Los Angeles, that comes out. And Grumpy is my inner curmudgeon.
You get a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Get ready for the roll, drive on the highway, go to the work. Well, thank you very much, sir. It's been a pleasure to meet you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Fun.
So,
thank you for Kineticon.
All right, here at the Baby Podcast, we've finally gotten together, Pinky and the Brain, together in person. So we had a chance yesterday, like I was saying, we had a chance to sit and talk with you, or get a chance in a minute to talk with all of you. But we want to get you guys together to give us the classic Pinky and the Brain little... thing. You guys have been together for years. We talked yesterday how you guys are inseparable.
No. Yep.
Yes, you guys have a house in Malibu together. It's very nice.
Yes.
We have a house in Mousibu.
Yes, with all the Pinky and the Brain money we made.
Yes. All of it.
I think I got a 3-cent residual check
the other day. Right. That's all of it.
That's actually more residuals than we get for our show, so you're doing pretty good.
Right. So,
Pinky and the Brain, when you guys first got together, what was it like? Was there like a moment when you guys were like you got together and you heard each other's voices together and you're like, this is going to work.
Well, we had worked together on Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Tasmania.
Tasmania came after Animaniacs, or it was on concurrently. We were making it, but it didn't have the Spielberg, stamp
magic,
on it. Yeah. It had magic for us. We had a great time making it.
Yeah.
But I knew when I heard first shticked with him on that Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, I went, I love this guy. Because we were very into the same kind of British humor.
Yeah.
So when we did the first Pinky in the Brain, we had no idea if they were going to do any more. Because everything was just, it was an anthology, and it was like the first couple of weeks. And they were trying everything. So we thought,
I actually was familiar with Maurice because of his Young Comedian special with Rodney Dangerfield as a stand-up comic, and then and you were doing all of those Fuji commercials.
Oh goodness!
So I knew Maurice was a star on commercials from his Fuji videotape commercial back in the 19.
You can still find that on Funny or Die.
Really?
No, not on Funny or Die. YouTube?
On YouTube.
My Young Comedians is on Funny or Die.
You
won't recognize me. I weigh half what I weigh now.
I had not met him. I didn't realize how much what a good actor he was. He's clearly a great stand-up comedian. But then we got to work with each other, and it was gnarf at first sight.
Yeah, it really was. But I remember thinking, God, I hope we could do more of these.
Yeah.
We had no idea if they were coming back, because they were just throwing everything against the wall, and then it became its own show.
And it's arguably as popular as Animaniacs, by it kind of got its own identity and its own audience
and its own time slot.
And its own time slot.
We actually ended up being the lead-in show when the WB went primetime on Sunday night. We went up against 60 Minutes, which was hardly a genius move.
Yeah.
But for a show about a genius and an insane one. But that was the more of the insane move, I think. But we were on in primetime for a season, so there you go.
It was cool, It continues to pay dividends. You guys are here talking to us about it. It's very flattering. Every time we go to one of these events, we have a nice crowd and hear us talk about the show. And it really is, as they say, all good. It's a happy experience from everything, the beginning to right up to today. It makes everybody, including us, very happy to be part of it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, thank you for taking the time. We know you guys are very busy, and I know you guys have got to fly to save the world or take over the world, whichever you like to do.
I'm actually flying to see my son, who's debuting tonight at the Whiskey a Go-Go on the Sunset Boulevard.
It's a big deal.
On the Sunset Boulevard.
On the
Sunset Strip.
Yeah, that's a very famous rock club.
Yes.
The Doors,
yes.
Everybody plays there.
A couple buddy of ours have played there.
Yeah. My son's band is called The Monsters.
Yeah.
And he's Jonathan LaMarche, lead guitar and vocals.
This kid is so freaking handsome. It's not even fair to the other boys.
Come on. Yeah, he's a good-looking kid, but
handsome boy,
he shreds
talented,
too. He's very talented.
Really good kid.
Yeah.
I guess it looks from his dad, I bet. That's
from his mom, thank God. Yeah.
With all due respect to my
friend
Maurice,
see my wife.
His wife is a knockout. Yeah.
So, anyway,
thank you guys. We'll definitely have to listen to The Monsters. Maybe we'll put them on the show. You
can take it.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll definitely.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
So thank you guys for taking the time.
All right, Mark. That was our best of, our social distancing best of show.
Yes. Episode one of the series.
Yes, exactly. We might do more in the future, depending on how this all goes. So you're home, you're washing your hands, you're staying safe. Have you left the house at all?
I just go to the grocery store.
Right.
That's about it.
I hit the grocery store every Friday now. I get the stuff for the week.
Yeah.
I go as early as humanly as possible. And that way the store is not that crowded at all.
Yeah.
But there's still...
on the way home from my last day of regular work on Friday, I stopped at the Arnold's and loaded up on meats. So
nice. Yeah.
I did there for a little while. So we got some stuff to get us through, but yeah, it's just strange.
Yeah, it is a strange thing, and the more I watch the news, they're just saying we haven't even peaked. They're saying 45 days or so we're gonna peak, potentially peak.
Well, until they actually get tests out and actually have like an idea who actually has it.
Well,
they have no idea how anyone has it.
Also, Connecticut, they already have. I mean, Massachusetts, Connecticut has 8 deaths now, and I think Massachusetts.
All from Stafford.
Not all from Stafford.
Basically. Well, there's 3 of them now, or 2 of them, but there's going to be more, because it's in the Evergreen.
Yes.
Kyle wasn't home there.
Yeah, but they're not all from Stafford. The deaths are not all. Yeah.
But Westport, I was looking today. Westport has like 41 cases.
Right. But if
I don't know what's going on in Westport.
If one person has it, though, and they got tested, for every one person, they're saying there are a couple hundred that potentially have it and don't know it.
Exactly.
So if you're sick, just
fuck. There's one in Enfield.
Just stay home. Yeah, we had one in Enfield. A young person, I believe.
Yeah, 26-year-old person.
Yeah. So just stay home if you're sick. If you have symptoms of anything, just stay home just to be careful. You know, it could be a cold, but you don't know. But, you know.
Well, there's definite ways where you know it's what it's going to be if you're.
Body aches. Body aches is a big one, and hard to breathe because it's respiratory.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the extreme is hard to breathe.
Right. And
if you get to that point, then you really need to get to the hospital. But if it's just like a cough with, you know, there's stuff on the CDC website.
Yeah.
Go to the actual sources. Don't just
listen to our president.
See something on Facebook and think that's what's really going on.
Right. And don't listen to our president. He doesn't know what's going on either.
The other people that talk after him.
Right, right. The people that
the actual people that know stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They contradict him all the time, which is hilarious to watch it on live television.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, Mark. So let's end the show. Do you know an amazing person passed away over the weekend? You know who?
Yes, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers Roasters.
I know. Best chicken in town.
I know. So I figured we'll end the show off with a Kenny Rogers song.
Which one did you pick?
Well, I was going to pick one of my favorites, which is... hold on. That's a text message from someone I'm not going to look at right now.
I could tell.
One of my favorite Kenny Rogers songs is Just Dropped In to See What My Condition Is. From Kenny Rogers and the First Edition.
And it's, I didn't even know that was a song.
Yes, and it's an amazing song. And it's like before country Kenny Rogers, this is like 70s hippy dippy Kenny Rogers. Okay. So I figured I'll end the show off with that.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to also tribute Kenny Rogers. Watch Six Pack, great movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
Which I used to love. I believe I got the VHS from McDonald's.
Oh, that's when they
back
did.
Back when they used to do the value meals. And you could buy a DVD, you could buy a VHS with them.
That's awesome. I remember that. Remember they did Feel the Dreams?
Feel the Dreams, Real Genius.
Right, right.
Six Pack. Those are the movies I got.
I think they did Robin Hood.
Like crazy.
Man, that's when McDonald's was cool, yo.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it might be that way now. You might be getting stuff from there now at this point. Everything else closed. Start to McDonald's and get yourself a cell phone.
Yeah, probably. Or a respirator. All right, Mark.
All right.
Let's get out of here. Here's some Kenny Rogers.
Stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Socially distance from your friends and family.
Stay home. Catch up on all the reading and the watching and the doing.
Yes.
And when I say doing, I mean like playing video games. Or
I thought you meant like sex.
Well, hey, if you want to catch up on that, go ahead.
In 9 months, a lot of kids named COVID will be born.
Oh, God, we're going to have a baby boom.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, but I think we might.
I don't know. Who knows?
All right. All right, we'll see everybody next week.
Oh, real quick, Brian.
Yeah.
Before we end the show, I want to thank all the grocery people that work at grocery stores and all the healthcare people that like work at all the healthcare places, and all the moms and dads who are having to become teachers during this time.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of friends. I know you have a lot of friends. We have the same friends who are posting on Facebook how they're like learning how to teach and basically learn stuff all over again because they teach stuff differently now.
Right.
So and it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it all. And thank you to all those people. And everyone else who has to still work and all that stuff. And it's gonna be okay. We'll get through it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, when I have to go out grocery shopping, or you or anybody out there, just tell the cashier, say thank you you know, like.
Yeah, or any guy you see stocking shelves.
Right.
Because those folks are all, like, working, even though the hours are smaller than they used to be. Those guys that are stocking the shelves and the guys in the meat department, all that, they're still there.
Right.
Having to get all the stuff and put it all back on the shelves for you. And they're working harder than they've ever worked before, basically.
Totally. And
they're putting themselves basically on the line of getting this thing. Because they're out there with all these people all the time, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, give them a thank, and just give them a nod. Don't shake their hand. Give them a thumbs up. Give them a thumbs up.
Elbow.
Knee tap.
Yeah.
Elbow tap, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. We'll talk next week.
See you next week. Or talk to you next week.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in. See what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself crawling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I saw so much I broke my mind. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. My condition was in.